Hey guys, I got a sponsor. Let's talk about it today. It's actually, you know, I don't talk about anything unless I use it. So it's Sheath Underwear. First of all, I'm going to tell you what go to it, which is go to sheathunderwear.com. S-H-E-A-T-H. Sheathunderwear.com. You've seen it. They have a little symbol on the shirts. They look like a little transformer. Sheath Underwear. They're amazing. They're cool, meaning they feel good. They're silky. They have a little pouch. So what you do is you take your meat and veg, you know what I'm saying, your kibbles, your bits, and they get tucked in this little pouch where they rest, and the rest of the underwear snug everywhere. I'm telling you, I usually don't like to sleep in underwear. I like to sleep buck. That's right, because I like nice, cool sheets. But I sleep in these underwear, and I don't feel like I'm wearing underwear. They're comfortable. They're good. They don't sweat. And they also keep you all hugged up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just telling you, if you want to, you should really check them out because they also last. I have a ton of them. I'm going to do them next time and show them to you all. Go to sheathunderwear.com, promo code Jamie. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code Jamie, and try them. They're going to have a whole thing. I think they're giving 20% off. They might. They're the official underwear of the UFC, so that's why I always see UFC fighters all tucked away. It's because they're wearing a sheath. Unsheath your sheath. Keep your sword sheathed. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code Jamie. Get the sheath. I'm telling you, like, if you want to free ball it, nah, that can hurt. You know, you bruise. The next thing you know, you feel sick to your stomach. The other stuff doesn't really. This actually tucks you in, but you don't feel like any pressure. If you're like me, you don't like pressure on the dill pickle unless, you know, someone is applying it, if you know what I'm saying. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code Jamie. Check it out. Peace. Ladies and germs. Another special guest. This is a super special guest.
Oh, thank you.
This is a special guest.
Not like...
This is... If you've ever seen me in a movie, if you've ever seen me in anything, a lot of times someone doing the hard work is John John.
John John.
This is John John, who is my stunt double stand-in co-star,
dance double,
and best friend.
Yeah,
soulmate, straight guy soulmate.
Yeah, heterosexual life partner.
100%. Wait, now let me ask you a question.
Lay it on me.
You're not high, are you?
A little bit.
Okay. What drug are we on?
Just a little weed.
Okay. All right. A little bit of weed.
Yeah, a little weed.
Now, have you ever done a podcast before?
Mm-mm, no.
I'm taking a cherry.
Yeah.
I told him to meet me in the parking lot of Gelson's.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing.
That's where we are.
Now, I have a tech guy and helper, but he's not here, so it's a little raggedy.
Well, it's a small studio.
You know, I just came from Bill Gluckman's Celebration of Life.
Yeah, that's. I wish I could have been there.
I know. No, but you're training. He's doing a lot of stuff right now for a new project we're going to talk about. But, oh, it took me back.
We worked with a Hollywood legend.
I know.
Love Story.
I know.
What's Up, Doc?
I know.
Like?
Barbara Streisand did not show.
Really?
It's a little annoying.
I mean, you know, she's...
She's busy.
She's busy.
She's busy. But, dude, What's Up, Doc? Main Event. Mm-hmm. Love Story. The game, like so many Westerns.
So many. I mean, he was up for, from what I read and heard about, he was up for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
He was?
That's what I heard.
He was?
Him,
oh
Tom,
my
Tom Selleck.
Oh, my God. Like, I knew Tom Selleck. I never heard his name.
I think, unless I'm wrong, but yeah, I heard that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
Isn't that crazy?
Dude.
Check it. You know, fact check it. But yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh my God.
He was such a sweet dude.
First of all, beyond the whole package, right? Just a good looking guy.
Watch What's Up Doc again. Him and Barbra Streisand.
Yeah.
They're young.
Yeah.
They're in shape.
Yeah.
They're tan.
Yeah.
And they're just, both of them, you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, Barbara's not my normal type, but she's hot in that movie.
Oh my God.
Barbara's sexy. I'm not going to lie. Barbara's sexy. Not my 100%. First, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
I was watching today at the funeral, at the celebration of life, and they had a ton of scenes. They had a huge scene in Malibu, which I was going to cry, but. Mm. But they had everything. I mean, that's what's crazy. He was in Malibu, and he was also in these movies that were nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah,
and dude, he was so funny. Like, I would say he is the definition of charm. He's such
100%.
What he had, you can't buy. Natural charisma, an amazing actor. He also did Barry London, and he had like an accent, like an Irish accent. Mm-hmm. He's physical. Like, he was a real boxer. Do you know that?
Yes.
He was a pugilist.
Yeah, I know.
And he grew up in the Valley, I think, or Malibu. I think he actually grew up in Malibu. And he wanted to be a fighter.
Yeah.
And I think he was just, you know.
I talked to him at the rap party about that.
Talk to me. What happened?
Well,
I want to hear your story.
Well, I went up to him and I said, hey, you know, Mr. O'Neill, you know, I'm a big fan. And I remember watching your movies as a kid and. You know, I said, I box and, you know, and he was like, oh, yeah, I can tell. And I'm like, really? And I go, how? And he goes, your nose. And I'm like, it is a little crooked. And I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, cool. And then we just talked about his boxing when he was young. And then, I mean, looking the way he did, how are you going to be a boxer, dude?
I know.
Come on.
I know. And he got roughed up, and he roughed up people, but he still had a great face.
Still pretty.
Yeah, but like, so, and he was in some real fights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think was amazing. And I've never seen, I know there's a lot of other reputations and all types of stuff, and he's had an intense life. I never saw him raise his voice or ever
get set. Never. Never.
And if he got mad, I would feel bad for the person he got mad at.
Yeah.
Because he could fucking rip somebody in half.
Yeah. The time that he raised his voice was when he and Blair Underwood had that scene in when we were at that place in Malibu, the big house.
Madame Dark Web, what's her name?
I don't know.
Darcy LaPierre.
I don't know who that
Darcy LaPierre owned the house that we shot Malibu's in. It's next to Cher's house.
Right.
And Darcy LaPierre is called the Black Widow of Hollywood. Please don't say this, Darcy. And she married. That was the Herbalife owner's house.
Ah, okay.
He died, and she got it. She had married the guy before that. He died, she got his money, and the first guy she was married to was Jean Claude Van Damme. He's like, she did not kill me.
Oh,
yeah, Darcy LaPierre. Okay. You didn't hear that here.
Oh, I think.
Yeah, she had like three dead husbands.
You said Van Damme.
Van Damme, I think, got out of it.
Yeah. But anyway, that scene was when. In the film where Ryan wants to save you,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, and Blair Underwood and him, like, I mean, they're two heavy hitter actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
They became like, oh, this isn't a comedy right now. Like, they were like, and he's like, I'm his father, and he's like, since when? And he's like, since right now. He goes, and you're fired, and then boom. But they did that scene several times, and everyone, because I was there, everyone's like looking around the corner, just going, "Holy shit!" Like they were in it.
See, first of all,
and it was cool.
They took their super dramatic, which they were. Mm-hmm. That's how you make a great comedy. You hire great dramatic actors, and say, just play it real,
real,
and the circumstances will take care of the rest.
Yeah,
and I mean Blair. You know, is up there with anybody. He's an amazing actor. And so Ryan, they both brought their real intense chops.
Yeah. And I'm not kidding you.
I think I remember that scene.
The whole crew.
You would be there because you were like standing in and doing stunts. And so I was like probably in my trailer, like arguing with Havens or something. probably arguing with my, you know, Havens. Havens. Shout out Havens.
Brian, get me a tea.
Get me a tea, Brian. So they, I remember hearing that. And this, because they were like, this movie just got levels.
Yeah. it became a whole other thing. But literally, like, crew that was, like, not on set, like, just outside of the room.
Pull that a little closer to your mouth.
The crew that was just on set, like, just outside of the room, they were literally, like, peeking around the corner, like, holy shit, like, this shit just got real.
Yeah.
You know? And that was cool. That was really cool to witness that, because it was like, wow.
Bro, people don't realize all the stuff you've done. But think about it. Would you say your biggest stunt in Malibu's was the trash can?
No, it was dunking the ball, the scene that was cut.
Oh.
That celebration party scene?
Yes.
I had to run holding
So we set it up. So, well, first of all, when they go get out White Boy and they throw me on Wonder Bread and someone's being thrown.
From the rap battle.
From the rap battle into the dumpster.
Yeah, that was me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Now, is it your ass in the movie?
No.
It was someone else's ass, because it wasn't neither of our asses. And I'm like, that's not my ass and that's not your ass.
No, they called me for the reshoots of the ass.
It was someone else's ass.
And I was busy. I was working or something. So they're like, oh, okay. It was one of the PAs.
It wasn't, I mean, no offense, whoever did that ass shot, it wasn't the best representation of our asses. And that's not weird to say that we know each other's asses.
Well,
but it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, you know, it did what it needed
but
to
wait,
do.
So you get thrown in the dumpster. So then we did this whole other scene where the studio said, we need a bigger moment. And I'm like, the movie's working great. And they go, no, we need some kind of epic thing. So we spent $1 million.
On that party scene? Or the, yeah, it's like, it was.
The For
you,
the.
You fell out of
It was
of
a
the,
dream.
Yeah, it was a dream sequence.
And we
fell out of the air duct.
Yes.
Which was me falling out.
And I walked into like rap land.
Yeah.
And it was like this whole scene that we shot of B-Rad's like idea of what it's like to be a successful rapper.
Yeah.
And I said, you're never going to use it. They spent $1,000,001 and they cut it.
Oh,
so wait, so
it was
you.
It was so fun.
It was amazing. So you fall down the chute.
So yeah, it was like an air duct, you know, like a air conditioning duct. Fall out, boom, fall into trash. And remember, you stand up and you turn around. Remember Big Lester was there?
Yeah, dude, Lester Sprite.
Yeah, he was awesome.
OG.
And he's like, go ahead, man. And you walk out, and it was like this whole celebration party. People are playing basketball. People are, you know, dancing and stuff.
Yeah.
And the shot was, or the stunt was, you with a basketball running towards the hoop.
Yeah.
And from the foul line.
That's right. That was you. Now, let me just let people know. I wanted to do it. They won't let me.
Well, it was gnarly. I mean, like, it was...
This was a gnarly stunt. You practiced this a while, so you had to do...
Off the mini tramp.
Okay, so I've got to remember, this was a big stunt. So what happened?
So the first couple times I did it, I couldn't get enough speed to get to the rim. Because they're like, you know, dunk it and hold on to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to hold a ball. You know, I don't have the hands to palm the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm holding the ball and trying to run like this.
Claw. You're claw.
No, I'm claw.
You're the claw.
Yeah, I'm the claw. And so it was. I remember it was like the third time I was just like, oh, man, this sucks. And the coordinator, Keith Campbell, who's a super nice guy.
OG.
Came up to me and he's like, Johnny, he's like, you're losing your confidence. You got this, man. And I was like, okay. And it's kind of all like I needed to hear was that he had, you know, my back, so to speak. Flew through the air, was like vertical, flying towards the hoop, slammed it, hold on, and then they grabbed it and, you know, I sat on their shoulders and we did that whole thing, and then they, you know, then they threw you on the shoulders of the other people and cut to that.
I remember that.
But that was probably the gnarliest. That was big.
Dude, that was a big stunt. Yeah. You still have it because it's on the DVD.
Yeah, it's on the
Dude, I remember scene, that because everyone was like, this was insane. Johnny like fucking flew.
Yeah.
You went like Superman.
Yeah, like went up and then out towards the rim. Yeah. I mean, people are doing it like, you know, for halftime shows now, but at that time I was just like,
that wasn't your bag.
Mm, yeah, okay.
See, you're a stuntman, but you're a dancer, but you also do a lot of falls. You can drive. People don't realize that so many different stunts.
Martial arts is.
Yeah, martial arts.
Mostly what I do.
No, but you can do all of the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, burns.
And you do a big burn, and you do all this shit. That is, like, the halftime show mascot, I don't think people realize how intense that is.
No, I mean.
Those dudes are super, like, they could be stuntmen.
They're going from the foul line.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, they have pads down.
Yeah.
We couldn't shoot with pads that day.
Yeah.
Because they wanted the whole thing. So it was like a wide shot, and they're like, no, we can't have pads on the ground. I'm like,
were you scared? What, because you thought you were going to get messed up?
Well, I didn't want to let go of the rim because that would flip you down and smack you into the ground, you know?
There wasn't any fake asphalt?
No.
Oh, my God. Mm-mm. And you were padded up, though. Not really, because really, you had my... Oh, my God.
Basketball shorts and the sleeveless thing and... Yeah, and the wrist cuffs and the headband and all that fun stuff. Yeah. So it was...
That could have went bad.
Could have sucked, yeah. But it was...
We would have had to pay you a lot more.
It was good. It was fun. Yeah.
Wow. See that? And then what happens? Isn't...
That was probably the biggest thing for Malibu. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot.
No, we had a lot of guns.
Yeah, we had the guns, and every that scene where you're like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me, blah, blah, blah. And then they wanted a shot of just your feet, like a low angle of just your legs and feet that they used me for. And, you know, seeing all the guys in the foreground running away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or in the distance running away, not the foreground. And I was doing it, and they're like, I was just standing there shooting, and they're like, Can you move your feet and legs a little bit more, you know, a little more animated? And I was like, yeah, sure. Next take, I did it. And they're like, yeah, not so much Elvis.
Because they shot like, your feet. Yeah, like,
I was like, hey, man. Hey, look at him. Look out here. You know?
When they cut to the feet, hopping up and down, those are your feet.
Those are my feet, yeah. And they're like, yeah, not so much Elvis. Okay, another take. And then it was like half and half.
I don't think people realize that. You know, you do all of the stuff, and then at the end, when they need the face,
boom, hey, what's up?
Isn't that terrible? But I do it for you because, A, you get paid more.
Yeah, totally.
And B, you know me. So I'm like, he knows everything I'm going to do. And then you would do it, and I would copy you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think one of the best compliments I got was from Alex Daniels on The Ghost Whisperer. You were in like some library, some dude comes running out, shoulder checks you, and you got to go flying backwards and, you know, land in the low
angle. I remember that, USC.
Yeah.
And the dude clocks me. That was an intense hit.
And I remember we did like two takes of me taking the hit and falling back on my back and sliding towards camera. And, you know, and then I had to get up and you know, do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they have something to cut to. And I remember the stunt coordinator, Alex Daniel, goes, you know how he moves. You looked exactly like him when you, like, got up and, like, looked for the guy. And I'm like, cool. All right, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, well, people don't realize that because we've been knowing each other since we were 12.
Yeah.
And so we follow. But, like, a lot of people would say, oh, let the actor do it and the stunt guy. No. I trust you. You're going to make the safe moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to copy you. But I mean, even on Heartbeat, like you did stunts on that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, so it's like we've done so many things. Now, we've had a lot of crazy experiences. What can you say? Give me one. Do you have anything from Malibu, a wild story? I'm trying to think. You don't have to.
A wild story?
I'm trying to think of like something that we did. Like, when you were, oh, God.
A wild story from...
No, you don't have to.
I don't know if I have a wild
story. No, we do. We just have to think of it. Because I'm trying to think of a wild stunt, but you just kind of told it to me.
The driving, I remember driving the Escalade on...
Yeah, you drove a lot.
On the PCH, yeah. And the camera car had a, you know, had a crane with a camera on a jib and... I remember they wanted me, they would swing the camera around and then they wanted me to get as close as I can
remember this.
To the camera. But the camera is, it's low. It's to get a shot of the license plate.
De shiznit, yeah.
Right? So as soon as it goes below the hood, I don't know where it is.
The camera.
I can't see it.
Yes.
And they're like, closer on the radio. And I'm like, getting closer. And they're like, whoa. And I'm like, you know.
Yes.
So that was a little, you know, tricky, a little bit gnarly. And then I remember we... they had the camera low and they wanted me to come up to it fast and they were going to lift it up and go over. And I don't know if something happened on the camera car or something, but as I was coming, they couldn't get the camera up. And I immediately hit the brakes and like backed off. And we finally were able to get it up. And the first AD, I can't remember his name. He was a nice guy. He was like, hey, nice driving, Johnny. He's like, thanks for not ruining the camera. I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a dude, you do a lot of different specialties. I know that MMA and fighting is your specialty, but also high falls, fire.
Wire.
I'd say wire. Mm-hmm. I even would say diving, dude. He did some pretty big ass high dives in Malta.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not normal. How you didn't even really have training.
In diving, no.
I know. So would you say a stuntman's life is kind of learn as you go, a super physical?
Yeah. A lot of this stuff I've learned. I mean, I started with live shows and I still train people for live shows as well. 'Cause it's one, it's a way to give back to the community, but it's also a way to, I don't know, just kind of stay in it fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Hungry with, you know, hanging out with young people that are like, hey, man, you want to do a fight scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, let's go.
They're all jacked up.
You know what I mean? You learn as you go, but you go after what interests you. You know, I have friends that, you know, they grew up doing motocross. So their big thing is, you know, vehicles, you know, bikes or cars or whatever. I know guys that are amazing competitive divers, national champion divers, that now are like high fall guys.
Ernie Reyes. And Stephen Ho.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Turtles. They used all that.
Yeah.
Mitch Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper.
Mitch Gaylord and Keith Campbell were on the same gymnastics team.
Really?
Keith Campbell, the stunt coordinator.
Yes.
Malibu's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
Mitch Gaylord is like the king of like anything super crazy flips.
Yeah, yeah. So they were on the same team. I believe they were on the same team. Same college, I think.
A lot of people, so what people don't realize what you do is if they go to a show at Universal, you work for the company.
Well, I work for a company that Universal hires.
And they do the live.
Yeah, and we train the people.
To do the live action show. So like Waterworld.
Yeah.
That's your show.
Yeah.
And then what other ones
the
are there?
The Bourne.
Bourne Identity.
Yeah, the Bourne show in Orlando.
That's your show?
Yeah. But we do the Waterworld show in Singapore, Japan, and Beijing.
Okay. Now, Malibu's was a little hard, but it was easy for you.
Oh, dude, it was so much fun.
So much fun.
So much fun. I mean, one, we're in Malibu. Or we're downtown.
Yeah, we either shot in Malibu or Compton.
Yeah, we're in L.A.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful.
It was so good.
It was beautiful. And then we go on the next one, and we go to Australia.
I loved it. I loved it.
For anybody, because, you know, my channel, Son of the Mask is a deep, deep connection to the people that are on this channel.
Mm.
And there's a lot. I've already interviewed Larry.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of history there.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And they think they know that we've been robbed. And I mean you might have been in the movie longer than me. I think you got there earlier. We left at the same time, but I was there for like 6 months. You might have been there for 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You stayed the whole time. I went back to LA a couple times.
For Christmas, yeah. That's right.
And you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing is Malibu's, I always tell people Malibu's was a very intense movie to make for me. I had a lot of hats. And even though John's doing this stunt that looks fun for you, it's a lot. It's very intense. It's fun at the end, but it's intense.
Yeah, I mean, you got on your game.
And Malibu's is a great movie of love when you watch it, but to make it, there was a lot going on. It was intense for me to do it.
Yeah.
Mask, however people perceived it, let's say they didn't perceive it as well as we wanted, you had, like, the best time making that movie.
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I mean, they put me up in an apartment.
Yup.
They gave me a car.
Yup.
I was the only person who didn't damage the cars.
Yup.
American.
Yup.
When they returned them. And I bought a push bike, you know, what they call pushy.
Yup.
Just a normal bicycle. Once...
You lived in King's Cross?
Just like up and behind King's Cross.
Okay, yeah. Because you had the city spot and I had the beach spot.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, okay, we can mix it up here.
Yeah. But I remember Hans, your bodyguard.
Tell a little bit who Hans was.
I loved Hans. Hans was. He was like 6'4".
Yeah, he was my driver.
And
my bodyguard.
And bodyguard.
And like, yeah, he, I mean, and also like human weapon.
Yeah. A total human weapon.
Yeah.
big fuck off mustache.
Didn't let me go anywhere without him right there.
No. Flat top. And yeah. I mean, you were going to get like a little snack and he'd walk with you.
Right next
He's
to me.
He's right there.
Yeah. But, came right off of George Lucas. He came off two Star Warses.
Oh, okay.
He was George Lucas's right hand. Mm. They put him with me. I mean, that was incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah. My favorite story was I went down to Bondi. You know, one weekend.
Bondi.
And I see guys and girls riding in the wave, and they have like this kind of like fin on their hand, and they're body surfing.
Yeah.
And so I asked Hans on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Hans. He goes, John, what'd you do today? Or what'd you do over the weekend? I went to Bondi, and I said, you know, I noticed they have these things on their hands. And he goes, yeah, that's for body surfing. And I said, I go, on the other side, there's surfers. And he goes, yeah, right. And I go, Hans, do you surf? And he goes, body surf. And I was like, oh, cool. And then my other favorite story of Hans.
There's so many, dude.
So many.
There's so many.
My favorite though was he comes up to me one day and he's like, John, I gotta leave for about a week. I'm doing some training.
Yeah,
he goes, I'm gonna bring in my partner, whatever his name was, and he goes, he's also known as the Fist. And I'm like, oh,
I remember this. The Fist was supposed to be me.
No, the Fist was his replacement when he left
for me.
For you.
Yeah,
for your protection.
I think I remember the Fist.
Yeah, the Fist.
Yeah,
and so I said, well, Hans, where are you going? And he said, we do some training of journalists that are going, you know, into war-torn areas.
He basically did live-action role-play with
journalists.
With journalists and real, like, mercenaries to get them ready to go into hostile territories.
Right.
Okay.
So I ask, I go, really? I said, so, what do you guys do? And he's like, well, they go into like a conference room or a big room, and they're supposed to be taking a class. He goes, and we come in, hoods on, ski mask, we zip tie them, put hoods on them, throw them in a van, take them somewhere, and we interrogate them. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. See, John, there's five personalities of a hostage situation. And I said, what are they? And he goes, well, you have the leader, then you have the psycho. Then you have the negotiator, you have the nice guy, and then you have the rapist. And I go, what role do you play, Hans? And he goes, I'm the rapist.
I remember that.
And I go, of course you are. And he goes, oh, it's good fun, John. He goes, I made a woman cry the last trip. He goes, I licked her face and she just started crying. He goes, great fun.
Who has to edit that part? He's gonna fucking come for us.
It was so good,
dude.
I'm the rapist.
The rapist.
Of course you are.
Wow, dude. I remember that. He's the best guy to guard you.
So good.
He never broke a smile.
No. We did make him laugh though. You and I made him laugh
a couple times.
Yeah,
dude. People don't even know.
He was a riot.
All the things that we did on that movie.
Oh, we were, I mean, that was 6 months of 14, 16-hour days.
Every day was at least 14 hours.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Then we started going six-day weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't move on a Sunday.
No, it was like the last 6 weeks of the shoot, we were doing 6 days, 16 hours.
And I would say, just have John do the first 2 hours, and they would make you up so I could get a little bit more sleep.
Yeah.
And so we were double masking it for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude.
They used, when they molded your face, because they molded mine as well, but then, because I had just like the, you know, it was supposed to be like the stunt hood.
Right? Yeah.
And then more got involved. They're like, well, your bone structure is kind of the same of Jamie's, so why don't we just use the pieces that we have, extra pieces that we have for Jamie's. So it was like, I had a full-on thing. Same prosthetic.
I know you did.
Procedure as you, which was crazy because I was like, all right.
And I was like, let them do it. Like, get them in. They would shoot you from the side. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it looked a lot like me, but they would shoot you on angles where you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, the only time I ever really got hurt.
I remember that.
I don't think I got. It was crazy. It was a miracle. Was that movie?
That whole movie.
Well, when I did Malibu's, I had hemorrhoids for like half the movie because I was always. I never got enough sleep.
Time to.
And I was paranoid, and I wanted to be funny. And we were doing all the physical. And Terry Crews, he kept picking me up, and he's like. He would always pick me up. And I'll never forget. He picked me up in that shootout scene.
Mm.
And I had like a fucking flaring hemorrhoid. And he'd pick me up. He'd be like, get down. I wish my pops were like that. And that was a different scene. But and he would, I remember he picked me up or something. And I'm like, dude. And he's like, what? I'm like, I got a hemorrhoid. And he's like, oh, my bad. And he fucking.
So he knew.
Yeah, he knew. And that was tough. But then when we went to Australia, we were all in. I had no time.
Mm-mm.
We rehearsed a month before. We had weapons, fights, dogs, babies, CGI, driving. I mean, we have like 10 levels of insanity which you don't do in a movie. We did them all at once.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were right there with me. You were doing everything to the point where you also had your own stand-in, our girl over there, which is another story. But like she was also actively doing a lot of stuff for a trailer.
Yes.
And we had, I just remember I did this big rig and I was like, I'm going to do this scene. And it was a pulley.
It was a hand pull of you going up to the top of the stairs with a camera at the top of the stairs and you were supposed to beatbox.
Yeah, so it was a practical pull, and so it is, instead of me jumping, it looks like I'm going to jump, but instead they pull me, and I just had to move my legs right.
Yeah, you just had to ride what they call ride the line.
Yes.
You know, be tense on it so that it you can land it nice, and it just kind of dragged you.
Dude, I don't know if it was me. It was probably me, but it was also quick, and it was way strong.
Yeah.
And the thing just went and fucking ragdolled me.
Right into the stairs.
Right into this metal. I'll never forget.
Right into the staircase.
Metal staircase. And it went. And that was like.
That was right on your shin.
Dude, it was like six. It was probably already 10 or 11 hours. My mom was there.
Oh, I remember that.
She was there. She's like, oh, my God. And I got pulled into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it was like hit my shin on him. Dude, I don't know how. Remember, I had a huge ball. It was like bigger than this. It was like a softball.
It was a softball with a cut in it.
Yeah, that came out of my shin. And I'm like, I just broke my fucking shin. There's no way I can.
Yeah.
Some bizarre thing happened within, I don't know, an hour and a half. They were like, okay, John's going to do it. So then you end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They did something. They put some crazy shit. I don't know if it's that stuff that you use in martial arts, that brown stuff.
Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Juice.
Muay Thai juice or something. The thing went down.
Mm-hmm.
It was remarkably not broken.
Yes.
It didn't bleed that much, but it was just had a lot of swelling.
Yeah.
They taped it, and they said, are you good to act? And I said, I am. Yeah. And then we acted another, like, five hours.
Yeah, another 5 hours.
It was, because I was like, oh, this is it. I'm bitched out. And I couldn't believe how lucky I was. And after that, I was like, if I don't know how to do a stunt, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
Because really, listen, I was too tired, too lackadaisical, because like you're the exact opposite of me. You're like, everything is this, and I'm like loosey-goosey. And that one I couldn't be.
No, yeah, you need to be super tight.
And I went, pfft. But I also just, that thing pulled me so fucking fast. And that's when I got a real education.
Yeah. Should have probably did some tests with you.
I know. Did we not? I don't know if we did. But by the way, I'm not complaining. I know. It's not anyone's fault.
I think maybe we did like two.
But baby tests. But I feel like half tests, speeds.
And
yeah.
And you were like, yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you sure?
Yeah. But was that you guys pulling it, or was it air?
It was the other Aussie stunt team.
But was it air?
No, it's just guys jumping down off a box.
Oh god, it fucking.
So it's you know, it's up and down here, and they jump down off a box, which pulls you up, and you pendulum to your spot. But you have to be really, really tight in your harness and everything like that.
Yeah. That movie had so much practical effects.
Do you remember my birthday? When I got punched in the head by those dudes?
Was that on your birthday? I remember this, but we were all out eating sushi.
We all went out, ate sushi, and then we went to this.
It was like Jamie Foxx was there the night before, and I go, oh, we're getting the second Jamie.
Yeah.
Because he was shooting Stealth.
Stealth with...
Jessica Biel.
Yeah. But we went out, we had sushi, and then we went to a couple bars. But the one that we ended up in was like, it was like a basement bar almost. You like went downstairs, and there was a bunch of people from the crew, and they're like, well, shot. We're all doing shot. And I'm like,
yeah. Drunk.
And I'm with the stand-in.
Yeah, you're with your friend.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
And
this beautiful,
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl. Young lady.
Yeah.
Canadian. She was Canadian.
But she had a bit of a mouth on her.
Well, let's just proceed along with the story.
Yeah.
And you'll find out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm like, I need cash. So we went outside and I'm looking for an ATM. But I'm feeling really good because they just gave me a bunch of shots. And I look across the street and I'm like, that looks like an ATM. I'm like, let's go. And obviously the cars drive on the opposite sides of the road there.
Yeah.
And so now we get to the middle of the street and a car comes by and she kicks it.
I remember this. She was so fucking nuts. But she was wild.
She was great.
I love
her. Very pretty.
She was sexy, but she was crazy.
She kicks the car.
She kicked a fucking moving car. I remember that. And we're like, why'd you do that, Char?
And I'm like,
I don't want a name drop.
And we start to walk across the street and I'm like, did you kick that car?
Yeah, for no reason.
And she's like, yeah, they're too close or something like that. And I look and I see the car is pulled over. And there's a big bus that they just pulled in front of. And we're walking behind the bus. And we turn. And as I turn and we stand up on the sidewalk, bam, right here. I'm like, ugh.
Oh.
And then whack. I get two punches from two different dudes. And I'm kind of drunk. So I'm like, oh, are these guys hitting me?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't. And they're like, who get my car, blah, blah, blah.
She fucking did it.
Yeah.
This is an example of, like, you know what. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So she's like, no. Nah. And I feel something like tickling my nose. And I'm like, and it's blood. And I'm like, all right, these guys are punching me. And I get into a fight stance. And all of a sudden, the third guy comes. And he's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And they just start walking away. And from across the street from the bar, I hear, Johnny. And I turn around and it's the Fist. Your bodyguard.
Okay.
And he comes running over and he's like, you're right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And he goes, you want me to go get them? And I go, and he runs up and he grabs one of them.
I didn't remember this.
And he's like, Johnny, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, let him go. Let him go. It's all good. Let it go.
Just, sweet.
Because we got to work the next day.
Yeah, we didn't need a lawsuit.
We don't need a street fight with,
yeah,
with you.
Where was I at?
You were coming out the bar too.
I was. You were. It all attacked
with trailer and with a bunch of.
I
other,
had a crew.
The whole rest of the crew.
Yeah, I came out after all the fight happened.
So.
Oh God. The fist.
The fist.
The fist was like, "What do you want me to do?"
He was like,
"Isn't that sweet?"
Yeah, I'll beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
If you say the word, and I was like, "No, just let him go." So now everybody's like, "Are you all right? You all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Whatever."
I remember coming out. I was like, dude, what happened? You're like, these guys jumped me.
They just punched me in the head twice. And the girl is now like over, you know, away, like crying, like, ah, Johnny. And one of the special effects guys who ran the baby, remember those guys?
Yeah.
Like, made the baby move?
Yeah.
He's like, now, are you going to do that again?
To her.
To her.
Yeah.
And she goes, no. And he goes, okay, then I think you learned a lesson. And she goes, tell Johnny I love him. And then she like ran off. That was the night.
Dude.
That was crazy. And we our call time was 6 a.m. And this is at like.
You got hit at like 2:30 a.m.?
2:30. It was like 2:30.
You got like punched out. You didn't get a black eye though.
Mm-hmm.
You did have a black eye?
Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
You're
I got a black guy on Romeo and Juliet.
I know.
I've never gotten more fights except on movie sets. It's because everyone's too entitled.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But your agent at the time, because I showed up, I had a black eye, and it was just
Pammy or Jason?
Pammy.
Okay.
And she's like, get some Arnica cream.
Yeah.
First time I heard of Arnica cream. And I smeared it all around. In 2 days, black eye was gone.
I remember that now.
Soreness was gone. Everything was gone. And I'm like, oh.
It's good. Dude, let's be real about Australians. They're dirty fighters.
Well,
I did that, and I laid it in the queue.
What do you remember? What
I laid it in the waited in the fucking queue line for like 40 minutes
for the taxi.
And two dudes fucking muscled me out, and I was like, "What are you fucking doing?" And then I waited again, mm-hmm. And then Prince Harry got remember that we go to a club.
That's our club.
We had to wait for him to get him out.
Yeah,
and then let us in. It was there's a lot we could say.
I remember when we were at that club and Prince Harry was...
He was living his best life.
Yeah, he was cruising through.
Yeah.
And this girl's like, oh my God. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's Prince Harry. And I'm like, and?
Yeah.
And she goes, he's a royal. And I go, well, he's kind of like a D celebrity where I'm from. I'm like,
yeah.
It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, the Hitler outfit that he wore... was like the biggest thing that I knew him from.
He wore a Hitler outfit?
Yeah, at a Halloween party, and he caught
got in trouble
shit for
that.
It.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, it's royal. And I'm like, really?
Dude.
Can he dance?
Dude, what did she apologize to you the next day?
She did. Yeah.
She was wasted.
Yeah, she was a mess.
Was she on pills?
I don't know.
Would you say that's a common thing of women getting men beat the fuck up?
Well, yeah, sometimes they pick the fight.
And then...
what are we supposed
we
to do?
We have to clean the mess up.
Yeah. Well, because we're going to get blamed.
Well, the thing
regardless.
Is, those guys had no idea. They probably had a nice car. They came in hot. They see you. They can't punch her.
Right. Exactly.
You're minding your own business. You're having a great night. It's your fucking birthday.
Yeah.
And you get clocked.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you're on camera.
And I get punched on camera?
You had to go to camera next day and they had to fix your eye.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good thing of being a stunt double. They shouldn't see your face.
I know, but dude.
You know. But there's a few moments in Son of the Mask in the alleyway where I remember you and I were watching it at the premiere. And there's a shot of, it's supposed to be you, but it's me reaching for the baby from Alan Cummings.
Yeah.
And you're literally... next to me, and you go, dude, that's so you. That's your head right there. And I'm like, it is. You're right.
I know, because it's a couple of shots. Like, I'm like, crop them out.
It's like, that's your head.
But I can see it. I know,
see, like,
dude.
The side of my head.
Well, the movie got edited a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot to that.
I want to talk about. I mean, you've done so many things that people don't realize, but you worked on another huge franchise. We could talk all day about some of the masks, but...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You worked in another franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the Bahamas.
Yes.
How did you... You worked on Pirates, which number?
2 and 3.
2 and 3?
Yeah.
How long was that shoot?
They filmed them back to back, so I was on and off that for about 2 years.
Wow.
Because I injured my knee while we were filming, so I had to take... Well, I took 5 months off. I had to get my ACL repaired or replaced. And it's like minimum recovery is 6 months, but the stunt coordinator called me at 4 months and said, hey, how's your knee? We were thinking about bringing you back. I said, yeah, it's great. And
you do one of the most, I think, one of the most iconic little shots in the movie.
Which one?
With the chest.
Yeah, with the treasure chest, yeah. Johnny Depp knocks my head off with a coconut.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you love Depp.
Yeah, he was nice.
He's
was
a great
cool.
dude, right?
He was super cool. Yeah.
Super cool. You go and meet him, and on that set, they had a nickname for you.
Well, I gave myself the nickname.
Why?
Try to make people laugh.
So everyone called you the squirrel.
Wild squirrel. Was
the wild squirrel.
Yeah. So the way it When we first went there, I had, you know, like a small book of contracts and NDAs to sign and stuff. So filling it out in
because of the movie or because Johnny?
Because of the movie. I mean, for everything. Like, don't talk about it. Don't take pictures.
You can't do nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So so as I'm filling it out, the assistant coordinator goes, hey, if anybody's got an extra hand, help JD with his paperwork. JD's got a lot of paperwork. And someone goes, who the fuck is JD? And he goes, John Donahue doesn't have a nickname yet. And I looked up and I go, I was actually hoping for Wild Squirrel to make my friends that I knew, like 3 or 4 guys there, laugh.
Yeah.
And the assistant coordinator like kind of looks at me and he goes, Wild Squirrel it is, I guess. I don't know. And then it stuck.
Okay.
So then the day that the coconut head or the, you know, coconut knocking off my head,
he knocks your head off. What, or were you a pirate?
I was a sea creature pirate.
Okay.
I was part of the octopus guy.
Yeah.
Part of his crew.
Okay.
So I had a conch shell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they wanted someone to run across this coconut grove carrying the chest and not make the chest move, try to hold it as still as possible.
Okay.
And they had one guy do it, and the director was like, I don't like it. Who else you got? They got another guy to do it, and they're like, I don't like the way he's running. Who else you got? And I'm like hanging out with the other stunt guys, and I hear squirrel. And I'm like, eh. And they're like, get over here. And they're like, all right, you know, run across the coconut grove. Try not to move it, right? Try to keep it steady, but run as fast as you can. And I'm like, all right. So I get to my beginning point, and I'm like, as I'm walking over there, I'm like, how do you run fast without moving your arms?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And earlier, where we were living, as we were leaving, getting into the van to go, we were very, very remote. We were in St. Vincent, and I saw a bunch of chickens running around.
Yeah.
Chickens don't move when they run.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, and their legs move, and that's all it is. And I'm like, run like those chickens. So I did the run.
That's you're carrying the chest.
Yeah, I'm carrying the chest and just trying to run without moving, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do the run. They're like, go back. And I do again. They're like, go again. And I do it again. One more. And I run back. And they're like, that's great. Cut. Cool. Moving on. I'm like, sweet. The next day, Johnny Depp's on set. Now they're filming all his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hanging out with the other stunt guys. And I hear, squirrel. I'm like, yep. Come here. I run over. And the director, Gore Verbinski, he's like, squirrel, do you remember that run you did yesterday? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, do you think you could do it again for Johnny's eyesight, eye line? And Johnny's right here. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And he goes, squirrel, Johnny, squirrel. And I look at Johnny Depp and I go, Johnny? And he goes, squirrel?
So the fact he rolled with it.
Dude, the fact that I had the director and the lead actor calling me squirrel.
Oh, dude.
Because so the word funny. Squirrel is a funny sounding word.
It's funny.
You know.
So squirrel, these guys squirrel. Called you Squirrel the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah.
Wait, was that the only time you worked with Depp? He's cool, dude.
On Pirates, yeah. I mean, he was around when we were doing other things, you know.
There was so much stunts on that.
So much. So many. Yeah. It was fun.
I mean, when you heard all that stuff about him, you knew he didn't do it.
You mean like his stunts?
No, his lawsuit. It's just like...
Oh, no. He's literally, I mean, the time like...
His beautiful soul.
He was hanging out with us. We were on the ship. There was like a whole big bomb sequence. And he's walking down the stairs. The guys are flying and things are blowing up. But before all that, he's just hanging out with all the stunt guys.
Yeah.
And he's talking to, again, Keith Campbell.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just casually talking about what other films you worked on. And Keith said Batman and like the early Batmans.
The Tim Burton ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I remember Johnny going, did you get to keep the suit? And Keith's like, no, they made us turn that in. And he goes, oh, that's a bummer. That'd be fun to have.
Oh, wow.
Like he was just a cool dude, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always a guy that is with the people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a regular dude, really. I mean, he's eccentric, for sure, but he's cool. He's just a cool guy.
I know, and his, like, don't get me started, man. Fucking the press says shit. It's not true. It's not true.
You know who else is really fun and cool? Jeffrey Rush.
Dude, he was almost in Son of the Mask.
Dude, he would come out when we were in Freeport, Bahamas.
Yeah.
He'd come out, he'd have a, you know, t-shirt on with a suit jacket with the sleeves pushed up.
Does he like to get after it?
And he's out just like having drinks with everybody.
Yeah.
And just like, but really just, again, just chill, just cool. I mean, he would kind of remind you of like, I don't know, the fifth member of like the Rolling Stones or something.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, hey, yeah, how's it going, man?
Yeah.
He was really cool, really sweet guy.
He's amazing, dude. Mm. You were telling me something about when you were shooting in Chicago, and I think this is really interesting. Is it Chicago PD?
Well, I've done Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Fargo, worked on Fargo with the season with Chris Rock.
Yeah.
But this was Justified.
Justified, you were doing this when this something happened?
Yeah.
So you were in Chicago.
In Chicago. The shot was Timothy Oliphant was driving a car with the camera car and basically the camera car, you know, the crane is here and then the camera picks him up and then he takes off and the camera follows him down the road. So they wanted to line that up with me driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're out in the road and we have this massive street, I think it's California Street, locked off. So there's cops at one end, cops at the other. And so we own the street. And we get on the street and they're like, hey, come down, you know, bring the cars down to the street light. We want to see how the light works, you know, see how it's going to work. And there's a big park to the left of us where all production is, Crafty and everybody. And we're sitting there and I hear pop. And I'm like, that's gunfire. And I hear someone in the camera car go, is that gunshots? And I said, yes, it is. And then you hear, pop, 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 pop. It's moving, like moving around. And I was like, that's moving. And all of a sudden.
Oh, shit.
All of a sudden in the rearview mirror, three cars come flying around the corner. Pop, 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 pop. And my friend Chris, who's coordinating, he goes, Johnny, that's them. And everyone ditches into the park. The camera car pulls over into the park. I can only get over as far as I can. And they're already coming by. And I turn my lights off, keep the car running, but I turn the lights off and I get down. And I just kind of look to the window and I see an SUV, and then a Dodge Charger in the back and out the passenger window, you just see an arm with a gun. Going,
no.
Pong, pong, pong,
no.
Pong. Yeah. And I was like,
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that?
You said it was a shoot-off, but you didn't say it was like you saw.
They were like 20 yards away from me, 30 feet.
No! Wait, so you're shooting in Chicago. What time of night?
Midnight?
And so
yeah,
you're,
like 11.
You're just doing a driving shot.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of it, two rival gangs.
Yes. We're doing a car shootout.
And they drove through the set?
Yeah, they drove through down the locked off street.
Well, how the fuck did they get through the lock off?
They didn't give a shit. I mean, the cops probably like, hey, and they're like, meow, meow. They cruised down. They ended up getting on the interstate, and you could hear them still shooting. Pop, 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 pop.
So you saw an arm come out,
mm-hmm.
and it had a semi-automatic.
No, yeah, like a handgun. Yeah, yeah. Boom, boom.
Where
boom,
did you
boom.
Go?
As soon as they left.
How close were they? So you're here. Where are they at? They're driving by you?
They're driving past me over here.
Shooting at in your direction?
No, straight ahead. Thank God they weren't shooting over here.
So they're shooting outside the window like... not.
Yeah, no. It's like whatever car's in front of them.
They're shooting at that. Like a bat, like a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't doing a shootout scene because that could have been...
Nope.
That would have been crazy confusing.
That would have been freaky as hell.
Dude...
Yeah.
So what happened? They shot each other. No one was hit.
No one on production was hit, but apparently one of the drivers, someone in one of the cars got hit.
And did you guys see that?
We didn't see it. No. I mean, they were flying by.
But how do you know he got hit?
Because the next day. So we were basically
shooting. What happened after the shootout? Did they get on the freeway? Then what happens?
They went on the free on the interstate and they took off. Production gathered up because we had, you know, police around us because we were, you know, out there, and they were like, okay, that's a wrap.
What the fuck was the cops doing, dude? Fucking donut.
They ended up chasing them,
because
obviously.
Those aren't the cops. The set cops can't deal with that.
No. I mean,
so they go,
the
that's
set
a
cops in Chicago that we had, they were our cops.
Okay.
They're not like security cops. They're
so
cop
wait,
cops.
But that one was a, so wait.
But no one knew that was coming.
No. So wait, so they say that's a wrap?
So they're like, that's a wrap. We don't know where we're going to, you know, where it's going to end up. But everybody get in the van, shuttle vans, go back to base camp, you know, and we're wrapped. Like, we're done. And I remember when I pulled over, hearing the cops that were on set going, get behind an engine, get behind a tire, get down. People getting behind trees and shit. Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
And then you went back the next day?
No, we were done. That was like on Thursday. We were supposed to film on Friday. They shut it down. And then I came back here. And then on Monday, my friend hit me up and said, hey, we want to get those shots that we didn't get. Are you cool to come back out? I said, yeah, sure.
But then they had a whole different security team.
Oh, yeah. Ex-military, earpieces, you know, vest, sidearms. And we get in the shuttle van, and, you know, they're, like, on the move.
So that was the most... I wonder if the sets are still like that. I'm assuming they are.
I don't know.
Was that during COVID?
It was after. After. I mean, I think they were still testing.
Yeah.
You know, but it was after, like, you know, the whole shutdown of that.
You didn't even really stop working.
No.
Because you went to Orlando.
Yeah. During COVID, you mean?
Yeah.
I was in Orlando when COVID hit the country.
Did it shut down?
Orlando?
Yeah.
Yeah, for about a month to 6 weeks.
And then?
They're like, we're opening back up.
And totally open?
No, I think not completely open,
mm-hmm.
but a lot more open than L.A., I mean, L.A. was shut down.
I know, dude.
I mean, I go hiking in the hills, and they were like, you know, there were signs up on telephone posts. You know, wear a mask when you're hiking in the hills. You could be asymptomatic. And I'm like, there's nobody out. There's nobody here. I'm the only one out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You are an early adapter. You knew right away it was, But to be careful what we say.
Well.
This is YouTube.
Here's the thing. When I was in Orlando, so I was in Orlando training people. I flew back here for Christmas, and basically I had moved into my apartment, so everything that I moved in with was still in boxes and bags. So the whole time I was here, I was working, you know, putting, getting myself situated. Then I flew back to Orlando on Sunday night, went to work Monday.
Before the shutdown.
Yeah, this is when, then when it was out, but no one thought it was in the States yet.
Okay.
So I flew back to Orlando, landed Sunday night, went to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. At the end of the night, I'm like, man, I'm feeling like I'm not feeling good. Like a flu, you know, like a bad flu. And I woke up in the middle of the night sweating, blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, text the guy that was running, you know, kind of in charge. I said, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'll let you know how I feel. And then it was 4 days. It was Thursday night, Friday, Saturday into Sunday was sweats, feeling like a truck was sitting on my chest, literally waking up and changing my clothes like 3 times in the night because I was sweating through everything. And I was like, you know, I hadn't been sick in 10 years. So I'm like, all right, you know, the flu came around and just, you know, cracked me or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was Sunday I woke up and I'm like, I got to do laundry. I'm running out of clothes. Did laundry, fell asleep on the couch for like 4 hours, woke up, fever was broken. I felt pretty good. And then I woke up Monday and I felt really good. Went and got a coffee and I was like, hey, I'll be at work tomorrow.
How long were you down?
I would say like 4 days.
You told me early on you got it, but you never knew if you had it because they didn't have the test yet.
No one was testing that.
But you sweat it out. Didn't you wrap yourself up with blankets?
Oh yeah, I had a hoodie.
What's the thing? Why do you do that?
So the fever that when you get a fever, it's your body's natural reaction to heat itself up to kill whatever you have.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, same reason why we cook our meat is to kill any bacteria that's in or on the meat. Right?
Yeah.
Same principle with our body. Mm-hmm. You know, you heat it up. Now, if you can add to that heat, you're gonna help your body break that fever or kill whatever is in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or weaken it at least. You know. So yeah. So I had a t-shirt on. I had a hoodie on with the hood up. Sweatpants, socks, and then I grabbed all the blankets from from the other room, and I would just
Sweating it out in a Motel 6.
We were at like a condo.
Wow.
So we had a kitchen and everything,
but no one knew anything yet, so they didn't quarantine.
No.
So the only thing that was open was your face.
Yeah, this is like all that was there, and it's just like,
is that your normal routine when you get sick?
All the time, every time. Vitamin C, zinc, and just water, fluids.
And sweat it out.
And sweat it out. Break the fever. And usually, like if I get the flu, I can break the fever in like 2 days. This thing kept going, and I'm like, what's going on? And that's what made me think, look, I haven't been sick in like 10 years. Maybe, you know, my immune system isn't that strong because I haven't run into anything recently. You know what I mean? So that's what I thought. And then, again, I was changing my clothes 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I was sweating through it, and I would sleep on the other side of the bed because I was the bed was wet from my sweat.
Wet from my sweat.
Mm-hmm. Gross. But, yeah, Sunday when I fell asleep on the couch, I felt like, and I had just woken up from sleeping however many hours. And I was like, man, I didn't think I need to lay down. And I laid down on the couch. I had football on, crashed for like 4 hours, and woke up, and the blanket was wet. My clothes were wet, but the fever broke. You know, I wasn't like chilly or anything. So I was like, all right. Took a shower. I went and got like a can of soup and some crackers, ate that. Went to sleep that night. Woke up the next day feeling really good. But it was the Tuesday that I went back to work, it was like that night when I went back to the condo that we were staying in, watching the news, and they're giving a list of all the COVID symptoms. You know, fever, sweats.
Oh, you know, fuck.
You know, blah, 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 this and that. And I'm like, well, I had that, I had that, I had that, I had that. I'm like, all right, I had it.
And then you didn't get it again for how long?
I was traveling from L.A. to Orlando to Chicago, back to L.A., back to Orlando, up to Maine for 2 years with just wearing a mask, and I didn't get it ever again. Or
you got it again.
I got it again, but not within those 2 years. And I was traveling a lot.
And there was no one on the plane.
No, there was like three people on the plane, which was awesome.
You know, the audio will still be fine. And we had an hour. I want to ask you one more thing, because I did hit my points. And yeah, I could sit with you for 6 hours, but it was going to run out anyway. I mean, there's so much I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to ask you one other thing, because I was going to go into your funeral shit, but forget that now. How much do you think the business has changed, dude?
Oh.
Do you have, I obsess today. Like, I hate it when I do that, because I go to these events and I see people that I haven't seen in a while. You know, there are other famous people. Mm-hmm. And I think I was fine with everyone. Isn't the business completely fucking different?
Yes. It's funny. I was talking to a couple guys today, actually, about it. There's so much content.
Yes.
There's so much streaming.
Yes.
Like, my friend, her girlfriend is an actress.
Okay.
And, you know, she's on something on a streaming platform.
Okay.
I've never seen the show.
I know.
And when I met her, I had no idea who she is.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, you IMDb and you go, oh, okay.
Okay.
But a lot of the IMDbs, I'm like, I never saw that.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I don't know where do you watch that? You know,
Was there a weird moment?
No.
But the thing is, it's almost filler. It's like, say whatever you want, but my first 10 credits made a mark.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't do that now.
No, and that's the thing. The other thing is, movies, where's the premieres?
They're somewhere.
But, like, they're few and far between.
You running with the treasure chest as the chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Makes more of a mark than half of the shit. And it's a sequence within a movie.
Yeah.
You know, Malibu's Most Wanted, the title, it made a mark. Like,
yeah,
you're like, I don't know. We used to go to premieres and they would be ragers. Even premieres I didn't go. I remember I went to The Matrix 2. Did you go to The Matrix 2 premiere?
No.
It was insane. I wasn't even in it.
No, but they had them.
Yes.
Where are they now?
I think they have them, but I don't think.
It's on a small scale, maybe, or if it's huge, like if it's massive, they may have one.
Do you know any of the movies that are up for Best Picture besides Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Is Maestro?
Maestro, yeah.
Maestro.
You know,
I don't know the other one.
Holdovers, Paul Giamatti.
Oh, right.
But like you, because that's what I'm saying. It's
but
like,
I haven't seen any of those films, Jamie, at all.
I saw Barbie.
I didn't see any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I used to love to go to the Arclight.
I know.
Because they had a little restaurant, a little bar, get a little wine, have a little snack. Yeah, give me another glass of wine. You can take it into the movie theater. Take a little toke outside in the parking lot, you know.
You're feeling fine.
You're feeling great, and you're ready for a film. You know, and that's the thing. That's what I miss about the... You know, and I think COVID had a lot to do with it, was the theater experience. I love going to the movies. You know, like I said, have a little wine, have a little snack. You're with your friend or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever. And you're just like, yeah, well, you know, let's check out this. I saw a preview. It looked pretty cool. Whatever, you know. And you're committed to an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. But you're captive for that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And you're in a theater. You're not at home watching, streaming something, and then going, oh, well, let me turn that off. I got to go check on the chicken or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like you commit to it.
Streaming, you're saying, has almost made things background noise.
It is. You know? Like, I have an antenna.
I know, dude. You're so old school, bro.
I don't have. You know,
fucking rabbit ears, bro.
Yeah.
You have rabbit ears.
And
you watch YouTube like a motherfucker.
Not since I got my antenna. Because, anyway, dude, it is so much fun. It's so much fun because, one, there's no guide.
Just get an app.
No, that's the is the beauty of it. There's no guide, so I have no idea what's going to be coming on.
Okay.
You know, I get CBS, I get NBC, I get KCAL.
Yeah.
You know, certain you know, local, you know, channels. But then you get little weird ones. You know, like, not weird, but like ones that show, you know, growing pains.
Wow.
Magnum PI.
Wow.
And then the one channel, Bounce.
Is big.
From Inglewood. Dude, I just watched Hard to Kill with Seagal.
Mm-hmm.
Passenger 57 was on the other day. Wow. I'm like, I'm good.
Dude, I know
bring me the cheesy 90s action film.
Bro, I'm about it.
Boomerang was on.
Wow.
Dude, all the hot chicks in that.
Insane. Dude, that's funny because those are good titles to have.
It is so much fun because I'm like, I have no idea what's going
on. And you'll commit and you'll watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then there's one that's called, it's just called Movies. That's the channel. It's just called Movies.
Yeah.
And they play everything and anything, black and white, noir. You know, I watched a whole thing of Clint Eastwood films. They did like a whole day where it was just Clint Eastwood. You know, Magnum Force, Dirty Harry, you know, Escape from Alcatraz, stuff like that. Before I Met You, An Eye for an Eye, 1981 Chuck Norris movie.
That's on now?
That was on before I came to meet you. I was like, yeah.
Wow.
So it's like these random fun shows. The other one is called Buzzer, and it's all old game shows.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like Match Game, like old.
Bert Convy Match Game?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You get this from the antenna?
From the antenna. You pay for the antenna. It's like $25. You plug it into your coaxial, like where your cable goes.
Uh-huh.
And you can download an app to find out which way to point it, but you just kind of point it. You do a scan search on your TV, and it just grabs these channels, and it's free.
Dude, you're bringing back the antenna.
So good. It is so good.
Bro, you're watching old game shows.
Old game shows, Magnum PI, old movies. But then, you know, they have like... like I said, you have CBS, I have NBC, so I get the news. I get, and then there's some Japanese channels, and there's one Japanese channel that's all done in English, but they'll do like BBC news, so you see more news than what you would normally see if you just watch.
So you see real stuff.
Yeah, they talk about Japan, they talk about Singapore, Southeast Asia, they go around the world, you know, and they talk really what's going on, a little bit more than we would probably hear from our local channels. You know?
Ours is censored.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
That's another conversation, yeah.
But because I don't want to lose any more, but I think it's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
There's so much more we can say, dude.
Let's do another one.
We're going to do another one. I can do it in my office, but Roseanne's there.
It's all good.
She just came today.
Oh, nice.
For like 2 days.
Hi, Roseanne.
It's my sister. Usually people promote something. Do you want to promote? You hate social media.
Rarely even on.
You don't
I don't have Instagram.
You want to promote being private.
I want to promote people doing passionate work.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I mean, I have a friend who loves numbers.
Yeah.
She reads math books for fun because she finds them interesting. She's awesome at it. So I encourage people to do what they're passionate about.
Do what they love.
Do what they love. Yeah, you'll never work again.
Okay.
You know,
I want to tell you I love you, bro.
I love you too.
It's, you know, I got to tell people that are close to me I love them now more than ever because the world's weird.
It's very weird.
But I love you, man.
I love you too.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
I fucking
love it.
In the van.
In the van. I love it.
Don't listen,
so
guys. Like, subscribe. You know what to do.
Hit it.
Mother's Day is almost here. And you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.